Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson,
I'm Andrew.
and this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hey, managers, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We're recording this during the daytime, Thursday, May the 9th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who, like Janet Jackson, thinks that the best things in life are free and is on that free hit. How's the free hit vibes going?
Mate, going well, going well. Yeah. Great, great song too. Great 90s banger.
My wife always has Smooth FM playing in the house all the time. And that is one of the 20 songs Smooth FM plays every single day.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. What's the frequency in Melbourne? We've got 95.3 up here in Sydney.
Smooth 91.5. I had to sing the jingle. Yeah.
95.3.
Well, that just sounds wrong.
yours sounds wrong.
But it's good to see you again. It's been a long time since we were on Ryan's podcast / YouTube last night, and I was catching some of it back this morning, and yeah, to see that half my head was cut off the video.
You got that lobotomy you've always wanted.
So yeah, that's the perils of YouTube, which we don't have to deal with.
No.
You can tell
we're stuck in the past. We don't do that. We don't do that here.
We might catch up one day.
Yeah, maybe.
But game week 36, it feels like it finished quite a while ago. For a Haaland-less manager like yourself, it wasn't too bad in the end, I think.
It was a pretty rough roller coaster of a weekend, really, for me. Like, as you said, I don't have Haaland. You know, we talked about it last week on the show, the reasons why. You know, he hadn't been great and he was just coming back from injury, and I just thought there was, you know, opportunity elsewhere. Like, getting rid of him allowed me to get Isak, for example. But I got punished severely for that in game week 36. But the funny thing is, like, I pretty much got returns from almost every single player in my team. With, I think, Watkins was the only exception. Pickford got three. So I started off the game week really strongly. Like, you know, I think I had the double clean sheet from Gabriel and White, and then I had, you know, a double-digit return from Saka, who's not that highly owned anymore. So I was feeling pretty good. Then we went into the Man City game. I got absolutely destroyed in that Man City game. I think my rank went from a game week... I was 67K at the start of the game week. My rank went to 132K after the Man City game. The Haaland absolutely destroyed me, like doubled my rank. But then after that, I clawed my way back a bit. So I didn't get it all back, but I got about 50K of it back throughout the rest of the game week with, you know, I got a double-digit return from Salah, double-digit return from Munoz, and, you know, those are very lowly owned assets. So they helped me claw at least some of it back, and I ended up on, I think, 82K, so 15K red, which isn't too bad considering I lost 34 points to the field on Haaland.
Yeah, I think all things, and especially the way that game week went for you, where the pain was earlier on, but then you, as the game week went on, you sort of caught everyone that you needed to bang, like banged for you to make things much better. Like the Munoz game, we've been talking the last few weeks that he's just been doing some elite point dodging, and of all the weeks for him to get those points for you,
this is the one where I really needed him. But I mean, I honestly was very down in the dumps after the Man City game. It was, you know, I think I reasonably thought that my season was over. But, you know, obviously I got some pretty good returns for the rest of the game week, which meant that whilst it was not a good game week, it wasn't season over status for me after that. So, I guess we move on to the free hit in 37, where obviously I can have Haaland, and I've got to worry about the Haaland problem in 38 now.
Future Andrew problem.
Yes. Very far in the future. Like, you know, 5 days in the future, I've got to worry about that.
At least it's comforting you've got him for the this week, the double game week. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. And like, you know, who knows if the title is decided after game week 37, then I think I'll feel a lot better about not having Haaland.
Yeah.
So let's just see how it all plays out before I worry about what I'm going to do. But I do have a plan of what I am going to do to get him when the time comes, if the title race is still going.
Oh, the man with a plan. Myself, game week 36, finished with another juicy green arrow. So 102. So getting that elusive single game week century, raising the bat. So yeah, basically the game week 35 wildcard all doing really good for me. And rolled the transfer, which was good. So I got some bench jam. Gordon off my bench for Bruno Fernandes, who didn't feature. So I was pretty happy when I saw the news that Bruno wasn't going to be in the squad.
There was a lot of bench jam going around this week. You know, I saw people having Jackson off the bench.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
That is jam.
Yeah. Well, the biggest one was Sertal. Did you see him?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
He got Haaland. He forgot to set his team, and he got Haaland off the bench and I think someone else for Maguire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Lucky day.
Yeah, but great week for you. Like, you got within a few points of me at one stage in the week.
Yeah, it was crazy. After those Saturday fixtures, I think there was only 8 points between us, which was just crazy. Just showed the impact that Haaland had that game week. But yeah, the only blank in my side was Watkins. So a little bit annoyed that Watkins, who I kept on my game week 35 wildcard, you know, with the temptation of going Jackson, I stuck with Watkins, but it just hasn't worked out. But that's something I've already fixed up. I've already got Jackson in.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
We're fast forwarding to the transfer section of the pod.
So yeah, I already made those moves. But in a pretty strong position heading into double game week 37 with the bench boost as well. So you're on the free hit. I'm on the bench boost. So interesting that our season this year has gone different paths, but it's made for quite interesting dynamics.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And you're just on an absolute heater to finish the season. I think the best feeling in FPL is when you finish game week 38 with your season high rank. And I think that you're in a good position to do that. Mm. Like, it really feels like you've, when you manage that, it really feels like you've peaked at the right time and, you know, leaves you feeling good about the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, I don't know if I've left it too late to crack the top 100K, but we'll see.
What is your rank at the moment?
139.
Okay. Definitely haven't left it too late to make the top 100K. Like, you can definitely do it. You know, it's just a matter of whether you get the luck that you need, but you can.
Yeah. The crazy thing was the safety score for me this week was 95. So,
it's crazy.
That just shows how competitive this game week was. But, you're on the free hit. Must be fun. I think free hit's always the most fun chip of the season, especially if you're using it in a double game week, not like plebs like me who used it in the worst game week ever, a free hit 29.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is the most fun chip. Like, I think the wild card's probably the most powerful chip, but there's a bit more pressure behind it because you can really fuck up your season with a bad wild card. Whereas free hit, it's kind of like you throw in some darts at a board. It might work, it might not, but there's no... It's not necessarily a long-term effect like a bad wild card can have. So, I'm looking forward to it. I've got a couple of different drafts that I've been sort of dicking around with. So, see how I finish up at the end. I'm not really sure how I'm going to go.
So basically the difference between your two drafts is it just basically hinged on the forward line?
Basically. So, I don't know if you want to go through the draft in too much detail, but
let's do it.
Okay, so my first choice draft is basically Petrovic in goal, a back three of Gvardiol, Pedro Porro, and Cucurella, and then midfield of Son, Foden, Gordon, and Palmer, and then forward line Haaland, Isak, and Callum Wilson. So basically, what that's giving me triple Newcastle attack in a week where I really like Newcastle. I think they could score, they could score 5-6 goals this game week easily. It gives me, triple City obviously, but that big differential there for me is Callum Wilson. So the person that I don't have that most people do is Jackson, and I guess with this draft, the thinking is that I think maybe Chelsea with the two away games won't score as many goals as they have been scoring.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's an opportunity to have someone in there with a higher upside than, you know, the template pick of Jackson, who, you know, I think that, you know, Chelsea, you know, they may well do well this week, but I just don't think they're going to score as many goals. I think that maybe Jackson's ceiling is a little bit more limited this week than it has been in previous weeks. And maybe it is an opportunity to go against, if, you know, in your free hit, you kind of want to go against the template, at least in one or two areas, just to see if you can get a bit of an advantage. So that's what I'm thinking. And that would leave me playing my fifth midfielder as first sub, which would be Richarlison. So the other option I've got, because there has been some rumours floating around of Callum Wilson possibly picking up an injury. This morning, there's been some images, I think, of him in training. So maybe those rumours aren't true. There was an image of him in training, but he wasn't actually doing anything. He was just there. So I don't know. I still haven't decided whether I think these rumours have got any substance to them or not. But if it does turn out that there's an issue with Wilson, then the alternative for me is to have Jackson in that spot, and then maybe have Jackson as first bench and play five midfielders. And if I was going to do that, I might rejig the whole thing and have KDB in the team so I could have triple city attack and play five midfielders. That's the other option I'm looking at, which would obviously just then mean I had to rejig the defenders a bit. I couldn't have Guardiola if I was going to do that. So it kind of has a domino effect in the defense as well. But that's the other option that I'm tossing up. And it kind of all does hinge on Callum Wilson, because I really do like him as a punt this week. I think he's got a high ceiling. And if he's fit and he plays, he usually scores.
I'm sure Eddie Howe will tell us.
Oh, yeah.
Callum Wilson's status. Yeah.
Well, yeah, hopefully like just someone puts him on a lie detector machine in the press conference this week. That's what I really need.
That thing will start blowing up the minute the strap goes around his arm.
It will.
Like
I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, which one of those drafts do you prefer? Like, do you like the Callum Wilson draft, or do you think that the sensible move is to go just with Jackson?
I do actually like the Callum Wilson draft. It's definitely a way of taking on the template at the same time. Like we've seen this time last season, I think we both had Isak and Wilson, and it was so beneficial, like the way that we finished the season. Because Isak is definitely the template pick, and a lot of people probably already tripled up on Newcastle. So it's definitely an advantage to take.
Yeah.
I think
almost everyone's going to have Isak and Gordon. So how do you make any ground out of Newcastle?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I tend to agree, like yourself, with those two away games for Chelsea, it won't be as high scoring as what they have been at Stamford Bridge. Especially that first game against Forest, with them, you know, basically needing like one more win to secure survival. It's going to be a tough fixture away. And Chelsea have been very up and down this season. Just when they start to get in the groove, it tends to be once they crap the bed.
yeah. I mean, they're definitely in an up phase at the moment, but I guess you're a bit wary about how long that will last.
Yeah. I mean, Jackson will get opportunities. He's had opportunities all season. It's just what type of Jackson we get. So although shaved head Jackson is prime Drogba at the moment, so...
He's obviously, he's tapered, he's streamlined, and it's making all the difference.
True. But no, I like the options. You're going big with the double game weeks, and it's probably the more analytical approach just to target it that way. Are you a little bit concerned no Arsenal coverage? Because I think if Arsenal do what I think they might do at Old Trafford, like they could win 3-4-0. I think that's going to impact you pretty big.
Yeah, yes and no. Like, I think generally people have been shedding Arsenal assets up until now anyway. So, like, Saka's not as highly owned as he once was. I think there's a lot of people that had that may have only gone for one Arsenal defender on wildcard when previously they had two, or potentially they went with two, but with the intention of moving one of them to a double game weeker this week. So I don't think that the Arsenal assets will be that highly owned that they can destroy me the way that Haaland has the ability to destroy me. so, I mean, I think that I do like Arsenal for a big win this week, absolutely. But I just think that go for the double game week is, you know, two bites of the cherry, two tickets to the lottery. I just think that when you're on a free hit, and there's probably three teams like City, Newcastle, and Chelsea that I really like in this double, and why not load up on them? And then the fourth one being Spurs. Obviously, they've got that difficult game against City, but Burnley at home is such a good fixture. Like, I think it's worth loading up on them and then hoping for a couple of appearance points, or maybe jagging a return in the City game, but really picking them based on the Burnley at home game.
No, I like the approach. I like the ideas, and hopefully the execution comes off for you as well. You had some numbers about bench boost. I didn't realize how popular the bench boost is potentially going to be in double game week 37.
Yeah, apparently, like, I think something like 83% in the top 100K are playing the bench boost this week. Like, I've been playing FPL for 17 years. I've never seen anything like that. Like, usually, even in a very popular week for using a chip, it's only like 40 to 50% of people using it. So, it's going to be crazy. I actually don't know whether a free hit or a bench boost is a more powerful chip this week. I guess we'll find out. But, I guess in my favor is a few injuries floating around and people needing to take hits to get out, their bench boost. And also the fact that some people have got Man United assets who are probably, you know, in hindsight, not that desirable for the double game week as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, free hit versus bench boost this week.
Yeah, and I suppose I think it's going to be interesting to see once the game locks out, the rank boost you'll get just if you don't take a hit, because I think there's going to be a lot of people will be taking hits, you know, probably to, you know, make sure they get that full bench. Whether you wildcarded in like game week, you know, 28 or in the 30s or even recently, like everyone has suffered at least one, maybe two injuries since then.
Yeah. Well, I think if 80% of people are playing bench boost and say half of those people take a hit, then you're looking at a 2-point head start at the start of the game week, which is, you know, what's 2 points? Probably 5K in rank. So it's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing indeed. But what we might do is we might take a quick break, and on the other side of this, we're going to have a look at that double game week 37 and give our captaincy picks and goodwill punting. All right, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. And we have an 8 p.m. deadline on Saturday night here in Australia. So don't forget, get that team locked in. Don't do what Sir Tap did from FPL review and forget the deadline, because the bench jam doesn't come around all that often. But it's off to a big start. Fulham against Man City. I mean, we talked about the City assets. It's, you know, it's which three do you have rather than how many do you want?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think you'd have four or five if you could.
Yeah.
And it's interesting as well. Like, I think we were on Ryan's show last night, Chatbox, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking about Fulham's defensive numbers, and they're actually worse at home than they are away. Mm-hmm. So, that was an interesting little stat that I wasn't aware of. It sort of made me feel even better about Man City attacking assets in this game.
Yeah, and we saw Fulham Brentford in the previous game week. I think both of them are just like, yeah, our season's done. We don't want to get injuries before we head off to like Cancun and
that's right,
Saudi Arabia. So let's just take it easy.
I don't know. What are you expecting this game? Like, I'd be surprised if Man City scored less than three goals in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong, I think. So City will want to like put the marker on this game to put the pressure on Arsenal, especially with that extra game in hand they've got this game week. This is a big one. So I think they'll just come out absolutely firing. Then the raft of games we've got at midnight. So we've got Bournemouth, Brentford. Don't really feel like FPL relevant at this stage with the doubles. I know Solanke owners have been shredding him at the moment. He didn't really return the last few game weeks. Everton, Sheffield United. No doubles for Everton, but on paper, if you look at the single games, this is probably the strongest one from a defensive asset. So managers with the bench boost, I think they'd be more than happy playing their Pickford or their Branthwaite and not flipping
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah, 100%. I think if you have Pickford or Branthwaite, like it's not really worth a transfer. You may as well just play them on your bench boost for sure. Use your transfers elsewhere.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Everton players on the bench boost. Newcastle-Brighton, so the first of these two teams, doubles. We've seen Newcastle at home, like, bring the thunder. And if you're sticking, if you stick with that triple Newcastle attack, I think that's just going to be, like, set the table, get the cutlery out, nom, 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 nom.
yeah. Until I find that Callum Wilson's pulled out in the warm-up or something. It's an exciting game to have, potentially to have triple Newcastle. I think both of these teams are very different home and away. So Brighton were pretty impressive last week at home against Villa, but they haven't been impressive away for a while. And Newcastle, well, we all know that they're so strong at home. So once again, like, this is a game where I can see Newcastle scoring maybe three goals, like two or three for sure.
Yeah, they'll be wanting to, finish the season on a high. And I mean, I know Pedro Porro technically scored from open play, but it was from a penalty save, and they haven't been able to put the ball in the net, from a proper regular outside play for like five games now. And I don't know if that win over Villa said more about Brighton or said more about Villa. I think, like you pointed out last night, I think Villa just, the tank is running on empty now, and their focus is on the Conference League.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was a pretty big game for Villa, and they did name a pretty strong team, but it just looked like they had no energy at all. I think they probably do have fourth sewn up, but it would be unlikely that Spurs are going to be able to catch them from here, even, no matter what Villa do. So, maybe they were a little bit complacent in thinking that they, the job was done for fourth anyway. And, when you couple that with how tired they were from from Europe, that's probably what caused that performance.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if Brighton can back it up. But I agree with you. I think it was probably more about Villa than it was about them.
Yeah, true that. Spurs-Burnley, so the first of Spurs doubles, and it's the good one. So judging by what Postecoglou said, because what we saw from Spurs in that Liverpool game, especially when Richarlison was introduced, was a completely different setup. So Son was actually attacking. He was playing so much better. Richarlison was involved, got the goal. Ange basically said that the reason he didn't start was he just doesn't have the fitness yet after starting the Chelsea game. So, if we put our thinking hats on, maybe we see Richarlison start this game, which is the game you want him to start for anyway.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think if you want him to start one, you want him to start this one, right? You take 30 minutes off the bench against City, take that anytime. Like, I mean, that's probably if Spurs are going to jag a goal against City, it probably will be in the last 30 minutes when City are already up 3-0 or something and they've relaxed a bit anyway. So, I agree. I think it makes perfect sense that Spurs go all in on this fixture, try to get the 3 points that they need to kind of, to make sure there's no jeopardy of missing out on Europe. And then, if Richarlison's going to be benched, it'll be against City. But yeah, this is the game for all FPL managers where you really want your Spurs assets to deliver, because if they don't deliver in this game, then they're probably not going to deliver in the double at all.
Yeah.
So it's a huge game, I think, FPL-wise.
Yeah, and a really appealing one too with Burnley. Like, this is their they're in the last chance saloon. They have to win this game.
Yep.
And we've seen Vincent Kompany play like really attacking football. It's going to be open. So I think there's going to be a lot of offside traps trying to be sprung on halfway lines between both teams.
Absolutely. I think you're right. Like, they're going to have to go for it. Like, I don't think you're going to see them sit back and park the bus and then try to jag one from a set piece at the other end. Like, they're going to properly attack, and that's going to leave them open. So I guess that's why, like, the predicted goals, I think, are higher for Spurs than any other team in any other game this game week.
Agree. From one claret and blue to the other, West Ham Luton. So, I mean, West Ham got absolutely demolished by Chelsea, but we've seen the news that Moyes is officially leaving at the end of the season. I think this is their last game at the London Stadium.
It is.
So Moyes' farewell there in front of the fans. I I think the atmosphere now will be one of like sort of a thank you to Moyes rather than that point. Had the news not come out, I think it would have been quite poisonous, like heading into this fixture. Jared Bowen hit the post three times against Chelsea.
Incredible.
Are you tempted on your free hit to go with your boy? Just
run
you
it
know,
back.
One last ride or die.
I'd fucking love it. I really would. But there's just that many good midfielders this week.
Yeah,
so
it's a tough one.
Like one of my preferred draft, I'm benching Richarlison, which I don't want to do, let alone have another midfielder in the mix. So I would love to. I wish, you know, bring back the all out attack chip, and then we can just load up on all of these amazing midfielders. But yeah, it does look like a kind of, it's got a Jared Bowen double digit haul kind of written in the stars, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking because I mean I've got a Bruno Fernandes problem where I'm not sure if he's playing or not, and whether I make the sensible decision and get in someone like Richarlison who has a double. Mm. Or go the paper pick, which might be like a Kai Havertz ahead of the United fixture and Everton at home.
Yep.
But there's like a small like percent of me that thinks, you know what, Jared Bowen against Luton with everything happening at the club, it could be a, you know, go fill your boots type of game.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's a good differential move if you have a benching dilemma in 38, so you can bench him because they're away to City in 38. That's the issue. But a lot of people do have very strong squads for 38, so you know you could easily just wear him on the bench. But I mean, I don't hate it. I mean,
I've been hanging around you too long.
I know. I don't think many people are going to have him, and I haven't thought about putting him in my free hit until you just mentioned it, but. It is pretty spicy. It's very tempting.
Oh, very much. Wolves, Crystal Palace. Look, Palace have just been phenomenal under Glasner, especially the last few games. We've seen Elise absolutely killing it. We might see some Palace players on some bench boosts. I don't think they're definitely, you know, a hard sell. Mateta is doing great. Elise is doing great. Eze, got some injury concerns, but... Yeah, they're probably one of those teams that don't buy, but, you know, you can hold.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one, depending on your situation.
Once again, they're a team that performs a lot better at home than away. But having said that, like, I don't hate playing any of their assets in a bench boost on the bench. I had 18 points from Palace players on my bench in game week 36. So there you go. It just goes to show that. Like they're absolutely fine for a bench boost, but it is away from home. So I think the last time they played away, it was like a 1-1 draw at Fulham.
Yeah.
And when they play at home, it's like 4-0, 5-0. So there's a huge difference in their performances.
They like playing at Selhurst Park. Forest up against Chelsea. Yeah, we talked about that one before. I think a lot of managers, regardless of their situation, will be double, tripled up on Chelsea. So Jackson, I think his appeal is going to be sky high heading into this fixture after the last few game weeks there. United Arsenal. So this one is on Monday morning for us. Unfortunately, it's a bit too far from the deadline where we might get concrete news about Bruno. Hopefully, United tend to have a lot of leaks. So hopefully we get something in the lead up to that.
Yeah. Is Ten Hag going to have a press conference before the deadline?
He should.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know what he's like. He doesn't seem to be one of the straight out lying managers.
Yeah. Dutchies tend to be very forthright and, you know, straight down the middle.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. That's how they're brought up. So, hopefully you find out because I don't know, like if there's no news and it's all like, you know, no one asks about it in the press conference or whatever, then I just don't know if you can take that risk because obviously the injury – in my mind, it must be relatively serious because, you know, he always plays. So for him to miss a game, it must be relatively serious.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a bit of a concern.
Yeah. And, you know, Arsenal up against that United side that were fielding, you know, 400-year-old Johnny Evans and out of position Casemiro in central defence. Yep. And, oh, my God, Casemiro putting on an absolute disaster class. You could tell he was out of position.
100%. It's going to be ugly because I don't think they've got anyone else. So they're going to have to roll him out again. The way Arsenal are playing, I think they could come out of the blocks really quickly and make it 3-0 by halftime and then just sort of sit back and chill for the rest of the game.
Yeah, with the job done there. Tuesday morning, Villa, Liverpool. So, yeah, Villa in that race, in the pole position, I should say, for fourth. We're going to get some more news about Villa tomorrow morning with that trip to Greece against Olympiacos. So Martinez might be back for that game. We're still not 100% sure, but, it's not Villa, just the wheels not really falling off, but just maybe a little bit of a stumble. But
they're kind of just stuttering to the finish line, aren't they? Like, I wouldn't say the wheels have fallen off. I just feel like they've given absolutely everything this season, and they are just running out of petrol a little bit.
I'm sure Emery will be trying to G them up, just saying, you know, look, we have two games left. Like, let's get this one done. And then it's a remarkable achievement, top four. I don't think anyone had Villa in their top four.
Absolutely not.
At the start of the season. But up against a sort of rejuvenated Liverpool that were back to their blistering best. Salah, I mean, he only got you 13 points. It could have been
a lot more.
It could have been a lot more.
Absolutely.
So,
but yeah, I mean, I think Liverpool are rejuvenated in attack, but they're not really rejuvenated in defence. So. No. Aston Villa still have the opportunity to score at least a goal or even two in that game. You know, I can see it being like a 3-2 to Liverpool or something like that.
Yeah, or like a Desmond 2-2 maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
gut feeling is Liverpool win.
Yeah, you think Liverpool win that game?
I think so. It's just a gut feeling. Who knows?
And then, all eyes Wednesday morning on North London, Spurs City. Interesting that Arsenal fans will be supporting their most bitter rivals, hoping for them to do the impossible. But
yeah, and potentially Spurs fans will be cheering against their own team.
I think all things considered, I don't think there'll be too many groans when City start putting the ball in the back of the net. I think someone asked Ange about, you know, the potential of this fixture, and he just sort of played it down to, you know, these players are professional. They're going to do what they do, but we've seen them be professional the last month and they've been conceding goals for fun and losing four in a row for like the first time in, I think, 20 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think they have to try too hard to disguise if they were going to throw this game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, the main concern is their left back. Like, they've just got no one. Royale was absolutely destroyed by Salah. He was horrible. And they end up calling him off and putting Ollie Skip there or something. So,
yeah. And I think Lascelles just played there the previous game for a bit as well. It's just,
The thought that has just struck me is, you know, if we could figure out who was playing right wing for Man City, it wouldn't be a bad punt. Like, I mean, Bernardo Silva plays there most of the time, but Foden can play there. I guess we won't know. But I wonder if Bernardo is actually not a bad punt this week.
It could be. That's going to be a fun game. I think this one, it feels like it might be a bit of a tennis match. Just with more goals flying in there. The Spurs goal instead of
City's. I think it could be the most entertaining game of the game week.
Yeah, definitely. And then, the double game week finishing off Thursday morning. So we got Brighton up against Chelsea and United up against Newcastle there. So, a bit of fun to finish off the game week with, lots of attention on the attacks of both Chelsea and Newcastle. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think there's a lot at stake in that last day of the game week. So, you know, people aren't going to know which direction their arrows are going to be pointing until after those games are done, because there's so many assets, relevant assets are playing in those games.
Yeah, I agree there. Now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. I nearly stumbled up there. It's another Easter egg for the listeners. It's a daytime recording. I'm hyped up to the max on coffee. So we're under very strict time constraints.
We're not re-recording that. Let's just go.
We keep moving. But last game week, you went with your boy Munoz from Crystal Palace, 13 points.
Yes. Finally. Bravo. It feels so good when you've actually got him in your team as well.
I was going to say, like, the double joy. I went with Morgan Rogers from Villa, 1 point. So we move. Double game week 37. Feels like there's a chance here. And who are you going with?
It may be absolutely no shock to you to
More
find that
pay.
I am stop saying Morpé. I'm going with Callum Wilson. I don't know what his ownership is now. It was 2.9% when I looked at it a couple of days ago. So
Yeah.
hope you know it might have gone up a little bit, but he's very low owned, 7.8 million. And I just think he's the fixtures that Newcastle got from an attacking point of view are just amazing. Like I really think that they're going to score quite a few goals against both. Man United and Brighton, with the
Yeah.
Brighton game being at home. And I think Wilson's been back for two games. He scored in both of those games. He's looked fantastic. He should have had more than one goal. He was unlucky to have, you know, just the one goal in the last game. He just always seems to score when he plays. And I think that he's probably going to be on pens
Yeah.
now that Isak missed that one. So yeah, I think he's a really good punt for this
I
week.
like it. I like it. It's sensible. You got him there before me on the spreadsheet, but I'm going with my boy Noni Madueke. So 5.3 million, 0.6% owned. He's been on fire the last few game weeks. So started the last six. I'm calling him the reject shop Robin. Loves playing that inverted winger role where he cuts in on his left, cuts in the shoots. So it's brought in some joy. But yeah, three goals, three assists in his last seven matches. So I think he's on a bit of a hot streak at the moment. So one for some managers out there looking for a bit of a differential punt, you know,
Yeah,
whether it be.
I love him as an FPL asset. We talked about it last night on FPL chat box that just because he's that selfish, like he's always looking to score. He's a shoot first, pass second kind of player, that's for sure.
And we know, all things considered, that if Cole Palmer for some reason can't take the penalty, he's going to be sprinting for that ball to
Yeah,
take it
well,
from the spot.
I think the rule is the first person to get to the penalty spot and touch it, they get to take the penalty. So it's yeah, him and Jackson will be going shoulder to shoulder on the way to the goals.
Absolutely. Now, oh, captain, my captain. So, yeah, I mean, it feels obvious, but there's going to be managers out there that have the triple captaincy. And we talked about it at length last night on Ryan's show, whether you take on with that triple captaincy, you take on the Nordic meat shield. But I don't know. I feel like having the triple captaincy on Haaland will be quite a big difference for you if you used it, because I think his EO is going to be absolutely insane this game.
Yeah.
We probably the only advantage of having Haaland is if you actually triple captained him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's enough triple captains out there to push his EO above 200. Maybe not, but I think it's going to be very close. Like I think his EO is going to be like 190 plus. So,
Look, if there was
yeah, I
any
think.
doubt, I think after what happened in game week 36, that's just, I think people have already just pressed the button on the captaincy on Haaland.
Yeah. No, and I think rightly so. Yeah, so if I had the triple captain, I would put it on Haaland this week. And yeah, so Haaland's my number one. Isak, I think, is the best option if you really want to go against Haaland in terms of you know, if you're chasing a 50-point gap in your mini league or something and you really have to take a proper punt, then I think Isak's the second best option. And then the other one I've got there is just Son, just because A, he always does well against Burnley, and B, he always does well against City. So you know, I think he's a decent option as well.
I just feel with those City doubles that, look, if you are going to take on Haaland with a differential captaincy, maybe go City, because it could
Yeah.
be one of the games
Just hope that the
that,
ball falls to other players.
it could be a Foden game, or, you know, it could be a KDB game. I think not a lot of managers will go to KDB because they probably got burnt in 36, but we've seen before that someone tends to hoover up a lot of the points, and at
Yeah.
least maybe the Haaland damage isn't too bad if you've got that City coverage, because if they're getting the assists, or they're getting the goals from a Haaland assist, yeah, it
Yeah.
might
Yeah.
soften the blow a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think KDB is a good option as well. You know, like he was very, it was, he played it was a strange game that he played against Wolves, KDB. Like he was uncharacteristically bad. It was just an off day in the office for him, but I don't expect to see that from him again. So yeah, I think he's a good, you know, he's been returning really well recently. I think he'll probably get back to it in this game week.
I tend to agree. You're on the free hit. But my bus team at the moment, like I said, I'm on the bench boost. I got the two free transfers, so I already moved Watkins for Jackson. That's already done. I realized after we recorded Ryan's show last night that I actually do have budget to do a straight Maguire to Pedro Porro. So I think I'm most likely gonna do that.
And then, that feels like a no-brainer to me.
It does. I mean, and if we get Bruno news, he's either going to stay or I'm going to flip him for someone else for a minus four. So whether that's, I think the hierarchy of my moves for that is Richarlison first, Havertz second, Bowen third, for that Bruno position. But I'll hopefully, you know, with the amount of time we have between now and the deadline, we get some leaks about Bruno.
And are you tripled up on City? Can you remind me?
Yeah, I've got you the Haaland, Foden, Vardy. Okay. And yeah, I'm tripled up on Chelsea. I've only got Son from Spurs, so adding Porro to that probably puts me in the frame there.
Yeah, it makes even more sense, you know, with, you know, knowing that that's what you do. And then, like, as you said, if Bruno's out, then Bruno to Richarlison for a minus four, I think is a pretty smart move as well.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. Now, the FPL Signet Podcast League, Mahesh, still leading the league. So on 108 points this game, Mahesh is just like absolutely tearing it apart this season. I've moved up a little, so I'm up to 18th. Unfortunately, nice. You've dropped out of the graphics for a short period of time.
I saw the graphics come out on Twitter and I was like, oh, there must be some sort of error here.
Reach out. No,
alas, it was correct.
Oh, sorry, my friend. Yeah, you dropped. I think, what have you dropped down to? Is it
13th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unlucky for some. So anyway,
indeed.
It's pretty tight there. But manager of the game week was Drew Potter with his side, Potter's Plotters. So 120 points. Insane. Got the Saliba Gabriel double up there. Branthwaite with the assist. Salah, Saka, Munoz, Palmer, Haaland captaincy, Mateta, Isaac. So the only blank was Pickford.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's not even a proper blank. He's still got 3 points, which is not bad for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's better than what most of my captains have done this season. But that brings an end to this Fast and Furious daytime recording before I go run some errands and pick up my daughter. She's probably waiting for me at school.
Yeah, that's all right. She's just waiting at the bus stop with a stranger in a trench coat. So nothing to worry about there.
Nothing. You've soldiered on. You've hurt your hand from basketball. You've got the ice pack on, but...
Yeah,
you soldiered on.
Yeah. Oh, look, nothing will stop me from the FPL SideNet podcast. Not even a potentially broken wrist.
Look, the word heroes get thrown around too easily these days, but you, my friend, a hero.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And insert here in Julio Iglesias hero music as we fade out of this show. Good luck to everyone.
Bookending the show with 90s music references. I like that.
Good luck to everyone out there. Good luck to you on your free hit. I can't wait to see what you end up with. It's going to be really exciting. Good luck to everyone out there playing their chips. It's going to be a fun game week. Remember, likes, subscribes, Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet and Andrew at FPL _pointbreak. Good luck. Let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.